Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the chairs.
Ah!
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. And anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Podcast or whatever you want to call it, you know, and I thank all our listeners out there around the you know, I was looking at demographics of listenership, you know, and the thing about internet, you know, just like right now, it looks like nobody's here, like it's just me, you know. Well, but there's people tuned in, you know, and I'm looking at demographics that seem way over in Africa, people tune in, you know, to this show. So, I mean, a lot of times people in different countries don't understand what we're saying, but like the Russians, what they do is download it and they translate it into their language. And I guess you could say they pirate the show. There's some websites with the show on it in Russian. And, you know, you hear them, it's translated into Russian. You hear us in the background talking and Russian translator, letting people know what we're talking about and all that, you know. Really kind of proud of that, you know, that although it looks like no one's, a lot of times people think, you know, no one's paying attention, but they are, you know. People do tune in. That's why sometimes we would get radicals calling. I won't say radicals, I mean haters calling. So I like it when haters call in because I know people are really tuned into this, you know. If haters like listening to us, then we're on the roll, you know what I mean? And so I wanted to thank all our listeners out there around, you know, and supporters around the world who tune in to us. And sometimes we even get call-ins from foreign countries. And I was looking at demographics of you in South America. You know, I know one woman, her name is Wambly too, from Venezuela. She tunes in and, you know, sometimes got in touch, stayed in touch, you know. So don't think that nobody's paying attention or whatever, you know. And we got our own Indian people, you know, our own Indians.
Oh, I ain't going to tune into that show. I don't even like Wambly, you know. You know,
so what? I don't care, you know. You don't have to. You ain't got nothing to say to people anyway. You just want to talk bad about somebody. But I welcome all people participate. You know, it don't matter where you come from, what color you are or what. If you have something decent to say about humanity, you're welcome to come on to this radio show. And I appreciate it, you know. I think that it's really important for us to continue giving our message. Of course, it sounds like we're always attacking Washichu or we're hating on them. But we have no hate. There's no hate here. When you point at somebody that's doing something wrong all the time, that ain't hate. That's just, you know, saying that guy is doing something wrong, you know. They're doing something. They're not right, you know. So, you know, and then you get people like that mislead the native people. You get people that don't know nothing, but they're out there behind a microphone speaking for us, you know. And when I see that kind of stuff, that kind of irks me right there, because, you know, these people, just because suddenly they feel, one thing about Facebook or social media, any Rudy Poo can come along and feel like a journalist overnight or feel like a celebrity. And boy, these people don't even know what a celebrity status is. They don't even know how to act. They don't even know how to conduct themselves with a little bit of acknowledgement, a little bit of fame, or if you got famous on Facebook, you know, some people think they're really something. Then they start putting all of your fancy pictures of just themselves, you know. And, you know, I always look at people, you know. What, you know, most of my bros, they take photos of their family. They're proud of their family, their relatives, and everything, you know. So that's what I try to highlight. But anyway, we're going to take off. I see Tahashi's here. So, you know, I'll get him. Look, you know, I was feeling kind of bad. Tahashi, you there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Because.
Sorry for running late.
I was thinking about. No, don't worry about that. What I was thinking about was, you know, I know you and my brother like to have start up that new business he got going and all that, you know. I see that it's hard to get inventory going. I see a truck wrecked delivering sex toys, so I hope they weren't going your way.
we bid on those cheap. Those are the best kind.
Yeah. They were scattered all across I-40 in Oklahoma headed to Sacramento, you know. So man. So now my brother and them, they got to wait for another week to get some whole truck
inventory
full of sex toys. Yeah.
Yeah, we already bid on those. Yeah, we already put in our bid.
Go ahead, Tahashi. For listeners out there, that's me and Bember. That's how we get along. That's how we communicate. Lakotas, you know, we like to have fun and tease and all that. And don't be offended. Anyway, we're going to get serious. November, go ahead, Denver.
We'll say a prayer and then we'll get started for reals here now.
I was looking at, you know, how the Washitu, you know, how weak they are. They like to ride tough. If you watch them, they go by on 50 bikes today. They all ran red light, you know, because the light was green, but it turned red. But because they're in a crowd. They don't need to follow the rules, you know. So they just jamming across. What if some truck come from the other side and seen the light green and just wiped them all out? That would have been cool.
Yeah.
anyway, that's how they are. You know, they get in a crowd, grown men. These are men, you know, with hairy faces and look like they should be grandpas and stuff. But they act like children. And I was looking at this, you know, one of those Capitol rioters broke in he was there in the Capitol fighting the cops, acting all tough. And he was saying that was the proudest day of his life, you know. You know, that was a proud day, and he said he felt like the founding fathers were smiling down on us in that room, and I guarantee my dad and gramps, both vets, would be proud. You know, he was all proud of what they did. Well, suddenly, he was attacking the cops and stole water bottles that the cops used to clean himself off. You know, I'm always, you know, I'm not never on the cop side or nothing, but you know, I'm just pointing out how stupid this guy is. They act all tough, but they gave his ass 5 years in prison. He was in there smoking the joint, walking around in there acting cool, you know. When they told him to get out of the rotunda, he just was getting all mousy and acting tough. But now, I didn't mean to do all this. I'm really sorry, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was just in the moment, you know. I mean, they're biggest crybabies on earth when they have to pay the price, you know. I mean, you know, our people, man, you know, I remember when I went to court, went for sentencing, I just walked there, I got sentenced and turned around and walked away. You got anything to say? Nope.
That's the difference between Oshichus and Lakotas. You know, we look at life totally different. You know, we did a crime, we're there to do our time, you know, and heck with it, you know, because we're there. You know, what can we do? You know, we did the crime, you know, but people like them, they're doing all that shit, they get caught red-handed. I mean, they got pictures, everything. But next thing you know, he's crying out saying that it wasn't him. Well, who in the hell was it, you know? And what was that all about when you're in that pack mentality, you know? And they have that I'm better than everybody else attitude when they're like that. See? And that privilege that they think they got over everybody because of Washichu, you know? And sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. And when it doesn't work, they're the biggest crybabies in the world, you know. Face the music. You did what you did, you know. Just go up there.
Have no shame about crying, you know.
Yeah. You know, playing victim. I mean, they play victim. And they're, you know, and that's the thing with these Washichus. Even these cops are like that. Even black cops, you know, cops of color. They this privilege that these Washichus have. You know, look at what they did to that preacher man. They threw him in jail for watering his neighbor's lawn, which they told him to do, you know. And now those guys are crying around about they didn't think they did anything wrong. Shit, they're racism, you know. And that privilege that they carry because they're white, you know. It's not only men. It's women that act like that, these kids, so-called Karens. If you ever look at all these Karens, they're all Washichu. Every one of them is a Washichu. Very seldom do you find a person of color do that, you know. But yet, that privilege that they think they have, you know, that they ain't better than anybody, you know. That like this guy that NBA owner, what'd he get? $10 million fine and a year suspension. What about that other dude that, you know, they forced him to sell his team, you know? It's no different. They're no different. But yet this Washichu dude's balling around because he didn't think he did anything wrong to these people, especially women. You know, the guy mistreated women and people of color. And then all of a sudden he's the victim, you know, because they're telling him this is what it is. And they played his victim card after putting out all that BS. You know, they can't handle. That's the problem with these, like you say, these invasive species. You know, right now there's an immigration thing. Look at what they did to those immigrants, promising jobs and, you know, place to stay and all this other stuff. So they agree with them, giving them $200 so they go clear across the country, you know. And they got dropped off at, what, Martha's Vineyard or whatever it is? Rich people's place. And this governor, he's a Washichu guy. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. You know, they're treating these people that, as a matter of fact, that fence shouldn't even be up. They've been Americans long before these people floated in. And now they're trying to treat them like they're aliens. And these people doing this, they're the aliens. It's not these guys coming to try to get a better life. You know, these people making these decisions to discriminate are the boat people.
White as all hell. White as all hell, but looking at a man of color and acting like he don't, the man of color is the one that's illegal. You know?
Yeah, see. That's,
well, I got something to add to that. How about this? It's Republicans that are doing this, that DeSantis down in Florida. And here's what they seem to think that we forgot about. Well, a lot of people forgot about, but people like me, I don't forget crap. Ronald Reagan and his CIA is what destabilized Venezuela. So now those people have to live down there with the regime that's in charge, okay? So basically, the Republican Party caused this mess, and now they're trying to sweep it under the rug and say, "Well, no, we're gonna ship these refugees, because that's what they are, because they're fleeing over to somewhere else into a Democratic area." How they went about this was really wrong too. You know, to not tell the people where they were going or tell them once they got on the plane. Some of these people actually have court appearances on Monday all the way across the country. Now, how are they supposed to get there? Court appearances, yep, for them to seek sanctuary here.
Yeah. See, that's something that bothers me. Those guys making these decisions, they're boat people. You know, how do these Native Americans feel about it? You know, the real people here of America, I'm one of them. You know, those people, they didn't float in on a ship. They walked here. You know, they're part of us. They're natives. In my eyes, they're natives. But yet, they put up a wall and they say, this is the thing with Washichus. Greedy, money hungry, and they think they own everything. They steal everything. And it comes from the church all the way up to, you know, these people today. That's the very thing they were trying to get away from in Europe, because Europe, they didn't want them there. They were hobos in their own country. So what they do, they promised them a better life than the queen sells land that don't even belong to her. She's way in the hell over there. All this bullshit. And these white people, oh, yeah, this land is mine. No, it's not. It's still Native American land. And those people that are coming over here, they should ask us if they could take asylum. Those people that floated in, they didn't ask that. They forced themselves here. The Washichu came here and start slaughtering people to steal their land. Look at the Trail of Tears. Before Trail of Tears, what happened? They took these Indians, say, oh, if you side with us, we'll give you this, 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 and this. So they sided with, they helped these Washichus out, and when it was said and done, they won. What did they do to those natives? They rounded up all these natives in death marches, you know, put them somewhere out of the way because they wanted their land, because it grew crops, good crops. All they wanted was money, and that was it. They didn't have no value. Once they helped these guys out and got when these Washichus got what they wanted, they turned against the very people. And all these people that they fought against turned against these Indians too, because they were helping them fight these other people, see, their own people. And then when they got turned against, they had them marching around, you know, stealing all their stuff, which they said, promised them that they would keep and add on to the stuff. We'll give you all this and that, you know. And these Native Americans believed that. And that's how they broke these people up. And the same thing like these treaties that we talk about. Those are contracts with the Native Americans. And the Supreme Court even said that. You can't break a contract, because that's basically what a treaty is. But yet, because of this 34, Indians can't use those treaties, because they forced another form of government on us called the New Deal. You know, and then they plagiarized our treaties, and in health, education, welfare, they put it out there. Now they're using that, which they never did think about before. See, that's how greedy they were. But during the Depression, some Eisenhower or whatever his name is followed what the natives did, what they said, and it was successful. So they still use it today. Anytime they're in trouble, they look at what Native Americans did. You know, shit from the Constitution till this very day. They don't know how to use stuff. All they know is greed. Any way they could steal. You know, that's all they want is money, money and land. You know, land they know is forever. And that's why they want to wipe all the natives out. They want to make sure there's no more natives so they could lay claim to everything. But as long as we're here, they can't do that. Because, like I say, some of us still tell people, hey, we're Indian. We never floated on our ship. But yet we have a lot of our own people brainwashed, celebrating Christopher Columbus Day, you know, all this other holidays for these Washichus. You know, then we have a bro up there that tore a statue down of whatever the hell his name, Columbo or whatever his name is. Then he gets, you know, they throw him under the bus. These guys wanted to look good. So what they do, they threw him under the bus. Instead of taking credit for what the Indian did, they turned against. That's what I talk about, see. That's not the American Indian movement at all. And these guys, they seem to start, they're starting to turn Washichu now, all of them, using American Indian. But that's shameful as hell. You know, receiving plaques and doing all these things. Oh, we're law-abiding citizens. Shit, they don't give a crap about us. All they want is our land. And those guys doing that, they're helping these Washichus out. You know, that's, you look at it. Look at all these people. Some of them, even on this radio, say, come on, oh, you know, this, that, vote this. But you tell me, has there ever been a president of the United States that has ever given an Indian a fair shake? They talk about Lincoln and all these great things, freeing black people. That man slaughtered 38 Lakota people that were not guilty, and he knew about this. But yet, to save face and stay in that presidency, he hung those 38. And it was Lincoln that freed the black people and put executive order out there to kill all Native Americans, east, west, north, and south. And Booth killed him. And so he did us a big favor by getting rid of him. So everything stopped. You know, if not, the United States military, that was a direct order from the president. He wanted the Native problem gone. And ever since then, has any one of those presidents ever treated Native Americans? Look at Obama, the guy that got in there. A black man gets in there. He could have made a world of difference protecting water. But what did he do? He sided with the pipeline, the Washichu, see, and started arresting Native Americans, people that belong here, people that wanted safe water for their future generations. That's the stuff I thought. All these people are turning Washichu, even our own people. You know, and that's not good. These people, Native, they claim Native American. They just did a study not too long ago. They said half a percent of these people claiming Native Americans, blacks and whites, they ain't Native at all. What is it? Chris Rock did his genealogy or whatever, and he was claiming Native American. It came back. He had no Native American. And a lot of these people that claim that, oh, my great-grandma was a Cherokee princess and, you know, it's a big old lie. You know, then they use that Native American to try to be better and all these shit. They're all boat people, you know, and these people that they're mistreating, flying them around and using them as pawns for political gain. Those people, they didn't float in on a ship. Those are pitiful Lakota people that want a different life because of what they did. They destabilized those countries down there. The Washichus did this, and now they don't want them here because they're fleeing from what Washichus created. How come they don't do that to Canada? How come those Washichus from Canada that overstay their visas and have all kinds of good paying jobs here, so how come they don't do that to them? I never understood that. It's because the people that out of Canada are Wasikis. So you never hear nothing about those people. But there's a bunch of Canadians here in America that don't have that whatever. They're illegal, and they're illegal in Canada in the first damn place. They're British, you know. And yet they never do nothing with those people. It's only brown people. It upsets me quite a bit because I'm a Lakota from – I can't float on a ship and go to Europe or wherever and claim that country. I can't do that. This is my home. This is where I'm from. They've never given me a penny, the Wasikis. Same way with my dad. They never gave him anything. And these tribal councils and these people that they put out there to take care of us and be our leaders, they buy those people to turn against us. They want our land, and they use these people to steal our oil, our minerals, our land. They never give us nothing. And even these casinos, when these Indians start getting casinos and they start making bank, what do? A quarter of all your earnings goes to us. You know, anytime, you know, not one of those people ever helped any of those reservations that have casinos now and that are doing pretty good for themselves. Not one. Not one Wasikis, not any Wasikis anywhere went over there and helped those people out. Those native people. When those Lakota started getting banked, what does the Wasikis do? Oh, we want fire trucks. We want the police. We want our roads paved. All this, and you're gonna, and they have these Indians paying for it. And these Indians are falling for it because the law said, what about our laws? You know, when are they going to respect our laws? Me, myself, if I had a casino, I'd tell them, go kick rocks. They never lifted a damn finger to help me. Never. They've never given me free anything. A lot of Wasikis out there think that we natives get a check every. That's the belief of all these Wasikis, that the United States government takes good care of us. That's the biggest bullshit story the United States government puts out there. They don't do nothing to stop it. They don't do nothing to tell the truth how they want the land and we want these Indians all killed off. They don't tell that. You know, that's, to me, shit, America's a disgrace. They're lying. They're a bunch of lying, thieving people. Bible stolen. Now they're bitching about some little mermaid or something that they're putting a black actor out there in front of it. Now they're bitching about that, saying, oh, what about my kids? Well, how are they going to, and what are they going to see? All this other, these Wasikis, man, turn it around. Look in the mirror, you know. They don't do that. They're so damn greedy, selfish, murderous people, you know. They're murderers and thieves. That's all they are. Wasikis, American Wasikis, that's all they are. They've never given a Lakota anywhere in the so-called Turtle Island, America, anything. They've never given us anything. But yet, when we get ahead, they're there sticking it. Look at what they did to those people in Oklahoma, these oil-rich people. They killed off their families and moved all their own families in so they could own the land and that oil. And the president, the governor, everybody knew about it, but nobody did nothing about it. So now a bunch of Wasikis own oil wells in Oklahoma because of that. All these Wasikis, women and men, that did this, inherited all those oil wells. They brought all their lovers and their family in there, gave them pieces of land to live on and stuff. The government was all behind that. And yet all these people want to be Wasikis? All these people want to be American? Shit, it shames the shit out of me when I see people doing that. Like Tunchy said, they look like Herman Munster, you know, in a suit standing there, you know, braids, you know, trying to be Wasikis with braids, you know. That, to me, that's shameful as hell, you know. I wonder how Geronimo feels. I wonder how Crazy Horse feels. Sitting Bull, all these great leaders that thought of their people and fought for it. I wonder how they felt. You know, I wonder how they feel now. You know, they're probably ashamed of us for doing that. But yet these guys prayed around and want to be Americans, dyeing their hair blue, you know, putting on, making themselves look like a blonde, you know. Shameful as hell, you know. Think about it, all you Lakotas out there, all you natives out there. You know, we're the people of this land. But yet, we look at what they're doing to these people that never floated in on a ship. We had good ties with those people all along. There's no, they say, oh, you guys were fighting. That's a bunch of BS. We traded. We took care of each other, north, south, east, and west. And there's proof of that. You know, but yet the Washita say, oh, you guys were fighting. That's how they were, so they think we were like that, which is a bunch of lies. The only time we stood up and took arms was when they came and tried to steal from us, and we started defending ourselves. Then we were savages. Now we're militants, you know, on and on, to paint a picture of us guys being the devil. They even brought the devil over here. We never knew what devil was before. Our ancestors didn't know none of that stuff, because nature took care of our people. The earth took care of us. They never fenced nothing off. They bartered. They traded. They had to have good relations in order to barter and trade with their goods for these people's goods. So they can't tell me we were warring people. No, that's a bunch of BS. The only time we went to war was when they came and tried to force us down to Oklahoma.
Well,
force us.
We got their bad. We picked up their bad habits. You see, we didn't have bad habits. You know,
yep.
Wakantanka created humans and animals to live with dignity. You know, so.
In harmony.
There's things in our brain that we just don't do, that we just don't feel good about it. You know, I mean, like it's like animals, like eagles, like everything. They just live life as they're meant to be, you know. But
yeah,
but our people, we live that way for hundreds of thousands of years over here. Way before we ever even knew there was a white man, you know.
Yep.
Those people came over and with war, when they started doing stuff, and our people said, "Man, you mean you can do that? You know, you can chop a guy's head off? Wow!" You know,
yeah.
We didn't ever see no stuff like that. You know, think about our character. We have a really normal, I'm not talking about a corrupted Indian. I'm talking about, in general, our people would never touch their sister or think of their sister in any kind of sexual manner, or their mother. It's just not in us. Well, we thought that way about everything, including murder. Murder is something we didn't think of. You know, it's not there. But they came over and changed everything. And they came and start murdering our people. And we had to go to ceremonies and ask, what the hell, you know? And Wakantanka and the spirits came and said, you know, you're going to have to deal with them in their terms. So that's what happened. And, of course, during this time, the Washita was good at divide and conquering, like give one Indian a nice gift and spit on the other one. So the one that has a nice gift says, wow, shit, I'm living good. So he goes over there and spits on the Indian, too, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
And that's how they got us. And it's like that today. You look at the difference in the tribes right now. You look at those, there's a lot of, I don't care, you know, there's a lot of Oklahoma tribes down there. They're arrogant as all hell. California tribes, arrogant as all hell, you know. They think nothing of flying the American flag. They think nothing of walking around with money, because some of them still have money. Then they got casinos, and then they, you know, then they act whiter than hell. Then they're Christians. they just don't care what the Washitu did to them. They'd rather be like the Washitu, you know? And look at talking about that Ben Barnes. I don't know if you've ever seen him, Tanshi, but look him up on Facebook. He's one of these Indians, wear a suit, wears this and that. He likes to act like he's all doing well, nice pickup, nice cars, talking like he's a totally decent man. But in his way, he's corrupting our people to be like him. See, the Washitu gets people like him to corrupt us to be like them, you know? And then when we make a mistake, they say, you see, there's bad in everybody. Look at you Indians are even killing kids.
Yeah.
Well, why did we do that? Because we're under a white man's drug. We learned all their bad habits. We learned their murder. Now our kids are packing their guns. They're packing their rifles. They're running around dressing up like them, you know? It's just, you know? And they're doing that. You know, I was looking at this video of this house up in Phoenix. He went to a motel. And when I came out of his motel room, he was dressed up SWAT. He had a special helmet on. And then went out in the parking lot and started shooting up, shooting people and shooting everything up, you know. You know, he wanted to be like one of them. They're the influence of all the violence. The Navy SEALs, you know. Everybody wants to be a Navy SEAL. So how do you be a Navy SEAL? Go around and start killing people, you know. Buy guns, buy weapons. You know, I was sitting in the doctor's office and they had literature in there. And I whipped out a book, a magazine right there where I was sitting in the doctor's office. And here it was, a gun magazine in the doctor's office. Yeah. And when the nurse came in checking my blood pressure, I said, I thought hospitals are the heal people. Look at you guys are promoting guns and weapons in this hospital. Oh, I did not know that was there. I said, yeah, I was. Look around. Look at all the literature you got going here. You know, it's all for American violence, you know? And, you know, anyway, you know, it's really important for us to be ourselves and quit trying to be like Washitu. Quit trying to be American. You know, you're born, you know, I remember when I was in prison, I was sitting in that prison cell. I said, you know, they didn't take my soul from me. They can't take that from me. They imprisoned everything, but even under the cement, I'm sitting here in this prison cell under the cement is Uchimaka. I'm still on Indian land, even if I'm in prison. I'm still, you know. What? No other race can say that. No other race can feel that. You know, they don't feel it. But if you start thinking like them, and then you'll start feeling their misery with them, you know, you'll start feeling their the injustice, you know, like they're always crying around about their rights, their Second Amendment, all their rights, you know, and everything else, you know. I was looking at, I made a comment on Facebook, you know, not to attack. I have a lot of friends that smoke or stuff like that, but, you know, recently I went to a health deal, and I'm glad one thing about me is I don't smoke. That's what helped me through this deal, you know? So I kind of encourage people, you know, to quit smoking and quit, you know, quit inhaling things, you know? Don't inhale stuff in those lungs. You know, those lungs are wakaa to breathe to breathe air, you know. So, but, you know, I have family that smoke. I have friends that smoke, you know. And, you know, what can I do? I don't say nothing. But I just made advice, you know. Try to quit if you can, you know. And, you know, I noticed there are some comments there, but one guy said, yeah, I'll try to quit smoking, but I'll never quit smoking pot. So I blocked his ass.
Damn.
I just blocked him. That's, I mean, what kind of human is that?
Yeah, that's like calling the kettle black, you know what I mean? Damn.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, that's how stupid humanity is. They're stupid. Yeah.
What should you think?
Sure, we get bad habits. They're hard to break, you know? And sometimes, I mean, I know one guy that used to come on this radio show that died a few months back from cancer, and he was smoking away. You know? Smoking away. They're all sick in Kuja. They're smoking away. You know? They don't realize. And they can do that. They can make up all their excuses they want. But the Washichu does that. I don't care if he does that. Let him smoke. You know, I was sitting at the store watching him run out of the store with cases, 24 packs of beer, Washichu in their pickups, throwing them in their truck and driving off all proud, you know. One guy had a couple six packs and a carton of cigarettes. He looked all proud, like, you know, and drove off. If an Indian comes out of that store with a six pack, everybody in the parking lot looks at that Indian and say, look at that drunk Indian, look at that alcoholic.
Yep.
He's an alcoholic because he's doing it. But none of these other people are, you know. I see, I'm going to put Wayne on, you know. You know, he could cut in if he wants, you know. But,
hey,
this
is Hawk here.
Yeah, we got that. Yeah, we hear you. Don't worry about it. But let us finish here, you know.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I just opened the door for you. So, you know, if you want to chime in on something, you can, you know. I don't mean, you know, but we were talking about something right now. Anyway. You know, when the Washichu takes alcohol and smokes and does all this wicked shit, it's macho. He's a macho man. You know what I mean? When he's out there smoking dope and using drugs, he's a macho man. And some of these guys were probably decent young kids, but they caught their old lady screwing on them, so they turned into a biker and became an asshole, you know. Then started being a macho man, you know. You know, well, I don't know what the reason is, but that whole race of people have never matured. They haven't matured yet. You know, they talk about immaturity and mature. You know, and you can't, you know, you can't even talk to them. If you start to talk to them, they'll cut you off. You know, I was trying to get insurance for my truck, but I have commercial insurance for my big truck. So I was trying to get some for my pickup. And that insurance lady said, oh, you're talking to the wrong person. I only deal with vehicles. You know, I said, well, what's the pickup? Well, I don't deal with commercial. I said, I'm not asking for commercial. In her brain, she wouldn't wipe out that commercial. And she told me, now you listen to me. I cannot help you. I said, well, get on then. Pass me to someone who can. You know, they just don't get it. They, you know, If you start telling them something, they start trying to cut you off. They don't know what they're talking about, but they try to cut you off because they think they know everything, you know? And, you know what? I'm glad I went down and seen the doctors and all that, and I'm glad to get the hell out, you know? Because putting up with them people is worse than the sickness that you go there for, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Bumping into a Washichu's a cancer. Living with them's cancer or COVID or
you know,
heart condition. You know?
You know, you go in to see a doctor to get healed of something, and they find all these things wrong with you to keep you coming back so they could make bank, you know. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You're just a dollar sign to them, you know. And that's instead of hearing you for what you went in there for, they find all these other things wrong with you, and they forget about what you went in there for in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
But that's Washington thinking, see. Mazaska. You know.
Like
that's
I
how
said,
they think.
Living with them is the disease.
Yeah. You know.
And then they're looking at, she was looking at my test to put a EKG on me. And
yeah.
She is bitching. She said, look at, you're all scarred up. I said, so what? I said, is that a law because I'm scarred up? Why even your back scarred up?
Should have told her, I know.
You know.
Yeah. You know, that's
I
you
said,
know.
What? Finally,
that,
I told her what? You don't like it or what? Are we going to get on with the show or what?
Yeah.
You know? So she got quiet and went on, you know. You know, they don't have, or someone will ask, what is that? If you tell them, if you think that they're worthy of explaining to them and start to explain it to them and tell them that, you know, our spirituality, they don't know shit about it. And you tell them, man, you're over here in Rapid City or Sioux Falls and you don't even know nothing about the culture you invaded, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't invade nobody. I said, the how you then? You're sitting here with everybody else, you know, living on Indian land.
And the thing about it is,
back off because they might shoot me up with some kind of something to make me sick, you know?
You know, and the thing about it is, Hanshi, they think you're the invader. You know what I mean? They come up with all these excuses to try to belong. You know, hell, you're a bold person, you know? Accept it, you know? And like you said, they don't know nothing about us, but yet they're there on stolen land. And they don't even look at that. The law says, you know, fuck the law, you know? Not
they asked me if I wanted to get some vaccines because they said this vaccine's out right now and this vaccine. Do you want one? I said, hell no, I don't want one. You know?
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, shit, I better not get no vaccine. They might give me a breast shot.
You'd be growing some mama
breast. Yeah, I might start growing breasts or something coming out of there. You know, tell what they can do what they want to you in there. So I realized I better shut up and get through this deal here. You know, maybe I'm rocking the boat. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's where you know the real vengeful people. Those people like that shot that you refused. The reason why they asked you. Because shit, that's $3,000 they're gonna charge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the more they could, more people they could get in that shot. Shit, the more bank they make. That's how they look at it. And they don't look at you as a human being. Maybe it's not good for you, you know. But yet, You yourself know your body. They don't know nothing about it, but they try to dictate what's good for you and what's not good for you inside your system, you know. What is that about? You know, I came here for this. What the fuck, you know? Excuse the language, but what the hell is wrong with these people, you know? And that's what I mean by you go in there for a reason, for something you need help with. And they find all these other things to keep you coming back. And that thing you went in there for pretty soon doesn't exist, you know? And what does my scars have to do with what I came in here for, you know? That's, you know, they look at you and they judge you right away. Washichu, you know.
Hey,
they,
Wayne, where did you say you lived?
Ohio.
Ohio?
Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, Dayton. Yeah, I know where that's at, I-70. You know?
77, yeah, Crossroads of America.
Yep, I know exactly where that's at. Yeah. You know, Ohio, they have that school, she called Lakota.
Yeah.
Lakota,
yeah.
School District. You know?
They never asked us about it, you know?
Yeah. And they're having some kind of issue with teaching sex in their classes, you know?
Man. Holy shit.
They have to teach sex, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Man.
I mean, I mean. I feel bad. I must be too far advanced because for some reason when I was like six, seven years old, I started checking them out, you know, and started playing house and stuff.
Yeah, shit, I mean, you know, it comes naturally, but I guess Washichu's got to be taught in, like, cows, you know. Like, you know, my brother Leonard one time told a story about, you know, these cows when they first brought them to America. The bulls didn't breed. They just later on got fat, lazy. So they were trying to figure a way to, you know, get them to breed. So he said that they finally figured that Spanish fly. Back then, Spanish fly was the thing, you know. So they shot this bull full of it, and shit. Pretty soon, he was on those cows. He was knocking them all up. So they kept using, they injected the cows and the bulls with this stuff to get them to, you know, produce. And he said, nowadays, he said, these Lakotas, he said, they eat that meat. He said, and they eat that Spanish fly. He said, so now, he said, all these Indians keep looking at women's behinds. He said, when they're walking, he said, it's not good, you know, but you think about it, that you know, it comes naturally, but yet when it's like when they're forced to do things like that, see, and that's what this school is doing, you know, these kids, they'll learn on their own, leave them alone, you know, you don't have to teach them about sex, shit, they'll figure it out. Every animal, every Wabankashka on this earth eventually figures it out, you know.
Yeah,
you know, I had a
little puppy, man. That sucker started hopping on my leg. You know, I said, "Damn, that was too young for that, man."
Yeah,
you know,
that's not Spanish fly.
I said, "Who taught you that?" You know, I was wondering.
That's not Spanish fly. He didn't call me, you know.
Hey, Wayne, you know, I know Philip lives there in Ohio, too, you know. I know Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, that area, that different tribes over there. But, you know, what's a trip is you guys don't have no Indian reservations over there. And how... I know if it wasn't for American Indian Movement, you know, a lot of stuff in Ohio probably wouldn't even, Indians wouldn't even know what the hell they were, you know. That's what I think. I could be wrong, but most people I know from Ohio and that way got acquainted with their their Indian culture from AIM and things like that, because the American Indian movement brought the drum, you know. Our people brought the drum and put the involved the drum right away into the issues of injustice, you know, in Minneapolis when those cops are beating up Indians up there in the city, since that was the closest city, there's a lot of Lakotas and different tribes live up there in Minneapolis, plus they have their own reservations up there, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that a lot of Indians, and man, those Washichu in Minneapolis were pretty arrogant, and, you know, they were beating up Indians, and that's what happened. So our people went over there, and they bumped heads with Clyde and all the rest of them over there, and started AIM. But the main thing they took with them in this movement to bring pride, native pride, indigenous pride, was that drum and that shanupa, you know, and that was what woke people up when they seen these Lakotas there singing on a drum, you know, and with no shame, proud of that drum. You know, because when I was young, living in L.A., people were ashamed to say they were Indian. And I understood why, because that was really racist to Indians. But the good thing was my dad wasn't going to put up with that. You know, no matter what the racism was, you know, my dad was going to make sure the whole town knew we were Lakotas, you know. And, you know, when people came to our house, that's all they heard, my mom and dad talking Lakota and all that, you know. So I guess what I was asking you, Wayne and Philip, how did those Indians have Indian awareness in Ohio and them places like?
You're asking. What do you
mean Indian awareness?
Did you learn it in school? Where did you learn it?
All I learned in school was that my people were extinct. That's what I learned in the Cleveland public school system.
But very little did they
touch on the history of it. It was like maybe one or two pages, you know, out of the whole history lesson. You know, they touch on the French and Indian Wars,
and you went to school,
that's about it.
Well, when you went to school, Philip, how many Indians were in your school?
Oh, I have no idea back then. Probably none.
Right, exactly. Probably none. And if there was some there, they wasn't owning up to it.
Exactly.
Because that's what
exactly
that's what happened in my deal. It was easier for Indians to claim Mexican where I lived in L.A. And finally, as time went by, you know, these Indians started popping out, you know, and telling me, you know what, I'm Shoshone, you know. I remember my bro Kenny Charlie. I thought he looked like a mean Mexican, you know. And we saw his fight and all that. And I used to go down to his house, and his mom was really nice to me. One day she said, you know, we're not Mexican. She said, we're Shoshone. You know, she told me, she said, I'm really glad that Kenny met you, you know. Because I wasn't running around saying I'm Mexican. When people asked me what I was, I told them, said, I'm Lakota, they call us Sioux, you know, Lakota, you know. And That's what I told him. You know, so my whole neighborhood knew that we were a Lakota family. We wasn't denying it. But a lot of the other ones, you know, like this guy, Kenny Charlie. And then when I went to prison, I ran across some of my bros, you know, in the tip, in the cliques and the gangs. You know, like one guy named JoJo Scott, you know. He's another one, looked like a pure, but I noticed he had straight hair, you know. He combed it back, but he had straight hair. He looked like a Mexican. And one day he pulled over and said, hey, you know what? He said, you know what? I was born in Idaho. I said, in Idaho? He said, yeah, but I was raised in East Los. He said, I'm Nez Pierce. So I started running across these other Indians in the system, and we all were connecting. Another one was named Snake Titman. I really love this guy, Snake Titman. From there's Titmans up there, Indian tribe up there in California. You probably hear that name, live up there around Sacramento and all that. Titman. Well, Snake Titman was in the AB. Can you imagine that? The Aryan Brotherhood.
Wow.
And I didn't know it, you know. I seen him walking around. He had straight black hair, and he was dark. He even had a mustache, you know. And, you know, we'd always acknowledge each other, but we never talked to each other. And one time I remember they put a move on some house up us there. And they said, yeah, the AB downed some house up on upper yard. And I seen it come down. And I said, shit, that wasn't AB, because I seen Snake do it, you know. And here, come find out, he was in the AB. Well, he stepped out later. I used to talk to him. We became really good bros, you know, because we grew up in the same kind of situation. We were natives in a world that was, like in his case, where he lived in Sacramento, a part of Sacramento where there was those white boys were running around there. I became bikers. So Snake Titman more or less ran around with bikers, you know, and running with bikers, you know. And then, so when he went to prison, his biker bros and those white guys were there with him, and they turned AB. So since he was with them, they pulled him in. And that's why, but when he started in prison, he started running across other Indians like me and different ones. You know, he started realizing where his pride really was. It's like you said to Hoshi, when you're an Indian, it's there. No matter what kind of sheepskin or you try to put on, or you know, try what kind of mask you try to wear, underneath it, you're who you are. And that's why a lot of these Indians in California, later on they started opening up, and you know, then they started being in powwows and, you know, getting, and they stayed in the gangs, but you know, the gangs, Mexican gangs, didn't care, because they all started realizing they were Indian too. Mexicans are Indians. So I guess I spent a big time here, you know, and when I was asking Philip and Wayne, you know, in their situation, living amongst, you know, in a world where there's no Indian reservation, and going to a school when you're young, how did it, did your indigenous come out over there?
Well, they're far and few. Yeah, they're far and few here.
Yeah. So how did you how did you get through it? How did you manage it? Did you play it off, or was you wide open, letting people know what you are? Did they all know your family?
Absolutely. Let them know. It doesn't matter. And, you know, and I have a friend, his father down the street, his father's Lakota. And, of course, he my friend passed away from an overdose. He still has his brothers running around here and sisters. Another guy, similar to your situation, you know, guy who joined the AB. I know some guy who's in Ohio prison now. His mother was affiliated with a tribe or descendant of a tribe. And sure enough, he's in the Ohio prison now, and he's affiliated with, like, the Aryans or whatever, and he shaved his head off, you know. You know, it's just, it is what it is around here. You know, this is what you call a homogeneous region. It's pretty much a lot of white people live in a region, but, you know, we are who we are. So, I mean, that's about it. I live next to an Air Force base, and, you know, that's pretty well diverse as well. So, you know, you have a lot of mix of people. So, however, you know, I went to the Catholic school system my whole life, and pretty much, you know, I was the outcast. But, you know, I just managed through it. All my other Native friends, they all, or Indian friends, they all just went to, you know, public schools mostly. You know, so this is what we do. I mean, we just talk. We just have to live life the way it is. You know, life moves on.
I think the tough thing, too, is, you know, according to the census, there were, I think they said 48,000 of us in the state of Ohio. And approximately, supposedly, 10,000 of us in Cuyahoga County, and 8,000 of us in the city of Cleveland. I don't know 8,000 natives in the city of Cleveland. So it's like, the other thing is too, is we don't live in the same area. You know, we're all spread out. So it's like the only time we really get to get together is if, like, especially here in Cleveland, you know, when the Lake Erie Native American Council has their harvest dinner, or they'll have something for the kids for, like, Christmas or Easter, and then the powwows around Ohio. That's the only time we ever really get together. You know, it's hard being a good, solid community when, you know, you're living in the city. You can't really do much spiritually in the city, you know, if you, and I've said this before, you know, it's not like you can you know, set up a sweat lodge in your backyard. You know, you're in the city, and usually when we sweat, it's like, you know, in the evening, you know, by the time you come out, it's around midnight, and you know, the city ordinances don't look kindly on people drumming and singing late at night like that, you know.
Like here in Lorenzo.
So it makes it really hard to even stay spiritually connected. And that's why, you know, like about a year and a half ago, the Land Conservancy had approached me about, you know, what can we do to help your community? And I told him, I don't know what the heck that is in the background, but I told him, I said, we need space. We need a place where we could set up sweat lodge, you know, and you know, do prayer ceremony, and, you know, where we can do vision quests, and we don't have space. And, you know, I met with them for a few hours, and I haven't heard anything back from them. And I thought it was a really good meeting. You know, they were really nice people. And they seemed like they were really, you know, wanting to help us, help the community here in Ohio. And you know,
living on Indian land, but they ain't got no space for you, huh?
Yeah.
You know, that's why, like, me and, like, Vember, you know, Vember's a hell of a motorcycle mechanic. He works on Harleys. He works around them bikers in Washichu all the time. But even though he works with them, you see him, he's still Vember. You know what I mean? He ain't changed nothing. You know? But other Indians, they go over there, they start working with bikers. Next thing, they start trying to act like them. Next thing, they're running around with spider webs on their elbows and stuff, you know, imitating everything they do, you know. Like I tell young kids this, young teens, I say, if you hang around with a guy that drives a Cadillac, pretty soon you're going to drive a Cadillac. You know, I don't mean Cadillac in general. What I'm saying is who you associate with is how you could end up being, you know? So
yeah.
I mean it in a way where fix up the people you communicate with and hang out with, and maybe your life might get for the better. But it doesn't mean if you hang around with it's like I played saxophone, you know, and when I started playing saxophone and all that, next thing I started getting gigs, and next thing I was playing with these hossapas, you know, and I was in these hossapa groups, you know. I remember one time I was all proud that I was having a gig, and I called my aunt and uncle and said, I told my aunt and uncle, I said, hey, come see me. We're playing over here. They went over there. Next thing, they're sitting around, all these black people. And they look, pretty soon they waved by at me and left. but even though I didn't start, you know, I mean, I didn't let that change my style, you know. I mean, I always kept the same style, and like Vember, you know, and we lived in cities. We live around people. Vember lives in Vacaville, but his whole family lets the whole neighborhood know that's Indian house. That's Indian land, you know. You know, that's Indian. That's the res, you know. You know,
Every country, everybody knows. That's what they call my house. That's the Indian house. All these people, all these Washichus, Hatsapas, they all, it's like a little reservation here, you know.
And
Working on cars, you know, but that's what they call us. That's the Indian house. They don't know our name, but they know that's the Indian house, you know. And then everybody knows where the Indian house is. And that's
black people house.
And that's the way it goes around here, you know, or anywhere I go, they kind of put that label on me. Oh, that's Indian house, you know.
But our kids have long hair.
Yeah, but our kids all had long hair. They all, you know, they went home with me, everything, you know. And
they hung out with the Mexicans.
But they hung out, like Tanashi said, they hung out with a lot of Mexicans, you know, which, shit, they're just natives, but, you know.
Yeah.
Spaniard-speaking people, you know.
Yeah, well, at least I can say one thing about you, Tanashi. You're a tough motherfucker. Because if you weren't in the world you lived in, you'd be driving past me with have you a blonde ponytail.
Damn. I would never go that far, Tanashi.
Nah, you never did. That's what I'm saying. You never did. Oh, you know,
yeah.
And like me, you know, playing music, rock and roll, and doing concerts and stuff and showing up at big gigs and stuff. And you should see how these musicians show up. Man, they just show up dressed up like shit, you know?
Yeah.
No, I never did slap on some tiger skins and stuff and run out there some bitch boots, you know? I got videos when I was young and playing music. I had the same clothes on. I was just skinnier, you know. I was the same person, you know. I didn't think, you know. And just like I said, when I played in that Hoss Up a Horn section, I didn't curly my hair up, you know. You know. You know. I didn't James Brown up, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering about Wayne and Philip, you know, how they slipped through the crack, you know, and be where they're at now, you know, because that world out there is really influential. And, you know, it really will change a person, you know. I see it change Indians real fast.
Yep.
You know, then there's some Indians you just can't change, you know. And they don't like the Indians that can't change. I remember me and Bob Lonock, we worked together in Rapid City. We worked for the county. And we were digging ditches. We had the low-life job, you know. But they tell us, you guys got to dig this ditch from here to over there. And okay, and Bob would get on one side and I'd get on the other side, and we'd throw some spit on our hands, rub it, and we'd have the sledgehammers and picks, and next thing you know, we meet up in the middle, one big ditch, you know. Shit, those are sheets you used to trip on us. We was digging ditches up. But they didn't need a tractor. They had me and Bob, you know. And, but we didn't try to suck ass and try to get a raise and try to, do something, you know, suck the man's leg to get a better job or nothing. We just did what we had to do, and that way we kept our own dignity, you know what I mean? You know, that's what people do. They want to fit in where they're at, so they change up. I see an Indian got a job down there, a fancy job, so he's kind of a fat guy too, but he showed up with some tight slacks, some shoes, a pink shirt and a tie and earring on, and his hair cut high and tight and the top's blonde. Just because he got a job change. You know?
Yeah.
Just because he got a job change, he wants to look like that. And I see these Indian women doing the same thing. You know, they get another job, so next thing you know, there they go. They start getting a new hairdo and everything. They try to match up with that job. While no Indian can match up to anything but being an Indian, you know. If an Indian tries to slap something on, it's like I said, if we put a suit on, we look like Herman Munster, you know. It doesn't match us. You know, what matches us is being ourselves, you know, being whatever. And, you know, like I said,
you know,
one time I bought a go ahead.
That's like these, like we talked about, how these people conform to these roles, you know, and shit, you can't, you know, once you're Lakota, you're going to die Lakota, and that's something like when us guys growing up, like you're saying, we growing up, we never forgot who we were. We couldn't, you know, because our dad and our mom they made damn sure we stayed Lakota. You know, we stayed humble to our ways. And you see a lot of these people, like you were saying, they get into a role, they role play, you know. And those are the people that forget about who their own people, you know. And what you're asking those guys is, how did they come to realize that they were Native American and come about start being Native American? See, because like you were saying, the dominant society is around you, you know. But like us guys, we had our mothers and fathers, our grandfathers, uncles, and they were Lakota, so we all spoke Lakota, and they never let us forget it. Even when we was in school, when we went home, we tried to speak English. They told us that you're Lakota, speak Lakota, and so it was kind of it humbled us because of who we were. See, and at a young age, they told us that we could never be Bashitu because we was born Lakota. And a lot of these guys, like in these cities and stuff, like that are spread out, and like you guys, when relocation and stuff. You know, it's easier to, I guess some of these people think that it's easier to be a Washichu, you know, along with these Washichus. And it doesn't even fit them, see. But
right.
Yet they role play, see. So what Tanshi's asking is, how did you come about, you know, being Indian? When did it start to where you stood up for you, who you really was?
For me personally, it came when back in 91, a friend of mine in a neighborhood passed away, and a bunch of us got together after the funeral, and it came out that this girl that I knew since kindergarten was actually, you know, her dad was Oneida in German, and she was actually registered, and I never knew that. Actually, she was my very first girlfriend in eighth grade at the same time, and we carried on a relationship for 12 years. We were together, and during that time, I started diving deeper into my own history and learning, you know, some of the stories from my grandmother about where her family was from. And then, you know, we found out from other relatives where my grandfather was from. And I started looking deeper into, you know, what nations were there in that area of Vanuatu, Mexico, and Vanuatu, Uriangatu, Mexico. That's when I started really realizing that, you know, we were always taught that we were Mexican. Well, that's a colonial way of thinking about it. But we were actually indigenous.
Yeah.
So that's where it started for me. And, you know, and we went to Lake Erie Native American Council powwow that they used to have down at Edgewater Park. And that's when I saw the table that they had there, that the Committee of 500 Years of Dignity and Resistance had there, and saw that they were demonstrating against Chief Wahoo, and, you know, but
yeah.
their main goal was because they actually that organization started on the 500 year anniversary of Columbus landing on this side of the world. That's why they have the name that they have. And it went from there. I got involved in both organizations. The rest is history, you know, being involved in that and then meeting Vernon Belcourt and him giving us the permission to have the chapter and being a board member, and then eventually becoming the director of this chapter. And that happened, you know, becoming the director happened on September 10th of 2001. So I just celebrated, 22 years?
22 years being a chapter director.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, that's that. You know, the thing about it is coming back to reality. You know, that's basically what it is. See?
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of these people, these natives, they don't know how to do that. See, or they don't want to do it. The only time it's convenient for them is whenever there's money involved. You know, and
it seems that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad because, you know, they a lot of them that know they're native still play this role of trying to be something that they're not, see. And that's where that brainwashing comes in. You know, they indoctrinated all these people, and so they make them forget who they are to be Washita along with them, see. But when you realize that, they're never going to accept you. You know, that's basically what it is. See? For us, because of our skin color and, you know, the way we were built, I guess, and they always looked at us as at least those guys, as Indians. See, and like Kanshi was saying, at one time, a lot of the native people, even on the reservation, refused to be Indian. A lot of them changed their names. Man, some of them had some pretty names, but instead they chopped it down to where, you know, it was one, you know, just one name that, you know, because they wanted to be white, see. And a lot of, we couldn't do that. We didn't have that luxury. Because of our parents, because of our grandparents, you know. And even in school, you know, they picked on us because we was Native American. We was Lakota, you know. And they said some pretty mean things about us. But yet we hung in there because we couldn't be anything else. And now all the ones that did that to us, all one of them, they come around, they want Indian names, you know, go to India. You know, instead of Lakota, they want Indian names. You know? But a Lakota name is what it is, you know. That's your real name. And we was born with ours, see. So and the way we looked at stuff, we could... Everybody knew who we were, see. And in 1973, when American Indian Movement came about, a lot of these Indians that were wanted to be white, they had a rude awakening, see. They had an awakening that, you know, it's good to be, you know, it's good to be Indian. Like we was taught, this is our land. They stole it, you know. And they never let our ancestors never let us forget that. See that how and things that were done to us, and how evil the Washita was. See, my grandfather used to always say, "Don't ever trust a Washita and what he says. Never trust him." That's all. And I used to wonder why he said that. See, and growing up in a Catholic school, shit, I realized what he was saying at a young age, that they will never accept us because they beat us, they tortured us. To try to be them, and it never worked. With me, it never worked. But a lot of these other kids, it worked. So a lot of them were ashamed of who they were, you know. And now they're all, a lot of these guys are coming back, and they're more Indian than these guys that were Indian that were getting picked on by them, see. So in 73, there was a big awakening, you know, that made Indians proud of who they were. And that's kind of like a turning point on a lot of these so-called Native Americans. See, and it was, I guess you could say it was a big awakening. See, and then after that, you know, and nowadays, shit, you have these black people, white people that they're all claiming Indian. You know, and like that. That's why I say, what is it? They did that DNA analysis. They 0.5% of 1%. Is native. The rest of them are black, white, oriental, whatever. But they're trying to belong, you know, because they found out that Native Americans, they know who they are now, see. So it's good that 73 happened. But, you know, and it should be bigger than what it is. You know, there's 500 and some tribes, or I don't know, probably more than that in the United States. But yet, look at us. You know, we're talking about, you know, how they're stealing, and look at how they're treating the people, you know. But yet, a lot of our own people are helping them, you know. And they forget about who they are because they want to be Washita, dye their hair. They try, like you said, put on suits. They try to play that Washita role, and it doesn't work that way. Someday you're going to die because we live to die. And when you die, you're still Indian. You're still Native. You're still Lakota, you know. Nothing changed. It was you that changed, you know.
When you die and they pull off the burgundy colored briefs you're wearing, you think you're cool and your butt's still brown.
Yeah.
You know?
It's still a Lakota app.
Yeah. No matter what was over the top of it when they pulled it down, it's still an Indian app. You know,
there it is.
Got barbed wire fence scars on it. You know, I put this post on Facebook about this Indian woman up there in northern New York. She did wear a bra, so all these white girls attacked her, and they're attacking her in the park. And nobody helped her. And the Indian girl was really crying and bitching, you know. I pitied her, you know.
Yeah.
But I kind of looked at her profile. You know, first of all, the white girl that was busting her up, I don't know how that Indian girl didn't bust her up. You know, put a comment. I said, you know, all the Indian girls I know would have busted this girl up. This Indian girl, she lives up there and runs around in that society. She's not living like an Indian woman. She's dressed up totally American, but because she got beat up and nobody helped her, she decided to say she's Indian. You know, that's why they did it. But you know. That's what happens. You know, our people need to Indian up or Lakota up or whatever you want to call it. They need to do that when you're out there in that world, because nobody helped this poor girl. Nobody. But she acted like they should have. People just stood and watched. Hell yeah, they're going to stand there and watch. What they're enjoying it. You know, why they're not gonna, you know, they're enjoying seeing this Indian girl getting busted up, ganged. You know, it's a shame, but you know when you know we have to teach our kids that, you know, no matter what, they're gonna end up going out there someplace where they're all alone. You better know how to fight. You know. And when it comes down to it, you better know what to do or get the hell out of there. If you don't want people messing with you, then don't do nothing to piss them off, you know. But you know, this ugly white girl is probably mad because the Indian girl was finer than her, you know. But you see, our people have trouble. Our people have trouble. Trying to mingle with those other societies. And the only way I ever mingled with the other societies was let them know who I am. And that's how I am, and that's how it's going to be, you know. I never tried to deny what I am, you know. You know, it was cool because I remember people say, where are you from, you know. And I lived in L.A. But where are you from? I said, I'm from Rosebud. Rosebud, where's that at? You know, even my Mexican rule, where's that at? I still didn't deny that I lived in Rosebud, you know, even though I was living in L.A. with this people, you know, with my whole tip, you know. And It was really, that was really funny, you know. I just, you know, that's how it was. Where are you from? I'm from South Dakota, you know. You know, even when I got in my gang, you know, even though I became a gang member, I was still from South Dakota.
Yeah.
I'm still from the Red, you know. And that's how it always was for me to this day. And they accepted me how I was.
No, that's the thing, you know, when you come from a prison camp like ours is age 44, you know, and you tell them that, you know, and then they look at you like, you know, like you're alien or something. They all get scared of you, and they, you know, because because of who you are, you know, and you're only telling them the truth. But yet, a lot of these other guys, they don't do that. They play that role of trying to fit in, see. And that's not cool at all, you know. Like you were saying, no matter what happened, you was from Rosebud, you know. And that's what it should be, see. And a lot of these people deny that, see. And that's not good. That's not good at all. And that's where all this American flags and all this shit starts coming in, because they accept that brainwash. You know, a lot of the kids that I went to school with that got beat because they were speaking a Lakota language, today they hear what I'm saying, but they never answer me back in Lakota. And at one time we spoke fluent Lakota to each other, you know. And that goes to show you how much damage that the white people did to us. And I'm kind of glad that like Philip and all these people that started understanding that, hey, we're India, you know, we didn't float in on a ship. Like all these people that floated in on a ship, they want us to be like them. I can't do that. I could never accept that. You know, it's hard for me to put myself there because I wasn't the one that killed my ancestors. They did. And it pisses me off still to this day how hard that my ancestors had to fight for me to be here. And me myself, I don't want to disgrace them by trying to join the other side and say, well, I'm this, I'm that. I'm still Lakota, you know, no matter what I do. And me myself, I'm proud of that, you know. I don't want to be that Washita that floated in our shit, you know. Because
You don't want to disgrace the grandpa by skipping in with some tight pants and blonde hair.
With the Herman Munster suit.
It's
good. See, some more of these Indians, like they got to realize that, see. Instead of trying to fit in to this American society to do away with the Indian, stand up, you know. And be who you are. Don't pretend to be something, one of these boat people that floated in, you know. And it doesn't matter, you know, where you're from. That's what I was saying. They say, oh, you guys were fighting. How do they know that? They weren't here. We were. And our ancestors said otherwise, you know. I had a grandpa that went all the way down to South America. It took him, what is it? They said something like 8 years. He disappeared for 8 years. Came back. He had a pack train. He had all these gifts from different people that took him in, and he made friends with these people. See, all the way down, as far as he could go. He said south. Then he went all the way up north, as far as he could go, and it took him 8 years. But when he came back, he had all these different gifts from these people, and so that tells me these people long ago, they weren't fighting. They made relatives no matter where they went, because we was all of the same people. Nowadays the Washitus have all these stories. What did they say? The ones that are conquered, you know, the ones that do the conquer and tell their story, that's what it is. So these Washitus bullshit all the time. They BS.
America is stolen. It's a stolen land. And the more these people understand, if you're native, stand up. Stand up for yourself. You never floated in on a ship. And be proud of who you are. You know, don't try to be something you're not. You know, this Herman Munster suit, that country talked about, that, to me, that's shameful, you know. It's you know, we don't belong there. That's not us.
Hey.
But that's something that these guys got to get over, that, you know, trying to be Washiku, you know. And it's to me, it's a disgrace when you start taking plaques from cops and, you know, because that's the army today that they're using to discriminate against us and keep us down. They use that so-called army. It's just another way of enslaving us. And all these black people playing basketball, that's all it is slavery. You know, these Washitos are sitting up there controlling the whole thing. Like this guy with that basketball team, you know, suspended him 1 year and $10 million. That's nothing to that guy, you know. He's a Washitu, you know. But these black players, these people that are doing the entertaining, you know, they're still slaves, you know. And that's not right. That's not cool at all. And these these Indian people got to understand that no matter what you do, no matter how much money you're still Lakota, you're still going to die Indian. You know, it doesn't matter. So the sooner you realize that and come back to your own people and be who you are, the better off all of us will be. And that's why I say I wish all these Indians, these tribes in the United States, stood together on issues, stood together. Instead, they got these casinos and these things that they put people against each other. At the same time, they're reaching into the pockets of these poor people that they never did help, that they wanted to annihilate at one time. See, and these Indians are thinking they're doing something good by buying fire trucks and paving the streets and buying windows and, you know, putting up buildings. And, you know, what about that poor Indian reservation? Why don't you do that to those people? Those are your real people, not these Washitus that are conning you, you know. If something were to happen and these casinos closed down or they were poor overnight, these Washitus, they ain't going to give those guys a damn thing. That's how greedy Washitus are, see. They won't give those guys any help. They won't give them a dime. They're useless to these Washitus anymore if they lose all their money. But yet, the Lakotas, we're still here. Some of us still speak about how these people stole our land and what they're doing to us. Tommy and Tanshi there, we put it out there. That the invasive species, he called them. You know, their minds, they're evil people, you know.
They want our land,
and that's all they want.
To add upon what you had just said, Bimber, this is a, you know, and I'm going to say this because it is an international show. Yeah, that what you're saying goes for all indigenous people.
Yep.
You know, the Wasichu has affected all of us, from the people in Australia to, you know, the people in Africa to the people, you know, everywhere they've gone,
Hawaii
brought destruction of our cultures. It's you know,
yeah,
it's
I like
in their own
that
history book.
The Hawaiian girl said, we're not American, we're Hawaiian. Or what did she say? She said something like that. You know, and I like that, you know. She is telling her people, and that's what we need to tell our people. You need to tell people, you know, we're not American. You know, we're Lakota, we're Apache, we're, you know, what are, we're indigenous, we're natives. We need to keep that strong and powerful, but, you know, it really screwed up when some Indians said, yeah, I'm American. I'm native too, you know. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a messed up deal, you know, because You know,
I'm American.
We
and a music too. Wow. You know, what a
hey guys,
you know, that's crazy.
I want to
go
chime
ahead.
In. Yeah, this is what hey, I want to chime in before we leave here. I just want to say that the Wachichu itself is actually on survival mode right now. And I'm going to say this with a quick figure breakdown. Since February, for example, the United States has donated $40 billion for military and humanitarian relief in Ukraine, okay? And $20 billion a year is donated to the Department of Interior from the government to reservations all around the United States, okay? However, corporate America is profiting off the Wachichu itself through private funds to operate fertility clinics, $8 billion a year. That's one-fifth of what the United States is giving to Ukraine. And if you think about the survival mode of the Wachichu, the reason why I bring up the fertility clinics, you don't see that in Indian communities or any other community of color. And when you think about this as a whole aspect, the fertility rate of the Wachichu is zero. For every white person dying off, there's not one to replace them. So $8 billion a year is used here in the United States for their survival. And, you know, I just want to reflect back on the beginning of the program that, you know, something to contribute back to society. And, you know, I want to bring that up as a point. Okay? And no matter
okay,
what.
Okay, we got 90 seconds.
Go ahead. I'm finished. Thank you.
Go ahead. Can you?
Yeah. And that's it. And, you know, no matter what they say about the graves they found in Ukraine, you know, it doesn't match about, like, what happened in Wounded Knee back in 1890 with the graves there.
Yep. And thank everybody for tuning in. And, bro, David, Virginia said, they fear genetic annihilation. If you remember back when they were in Charlottesville, Virginia, roughly 5 years ago, they were marching on the college campus saying they will not replace us Jews, will not replace us, including stuff that was said in Nazi Germany, blood and soil, you know, I agree with you, you know, they're on their way out. I mean, I won't see it in my lifetime, but they're diluting. Anyway, looks like we got to go right now. And I thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Dolores and Sachin for listening and tuning in, and David and John Davis and others, Mastichala in Frankfurt and in Berlin. Thank you all for tuning in to us.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again, oh mama. 35 old miles and you'll be free. 35 old miles to go home through the never-ending rain. I'll bring you home again. Oh mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still you mean so much to me. Now I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.